committee that is appointed at this convention does not have the background and the experience and the information about the convention as it meets from year to year to help it make the right kind of a decision and recommendation. I really think that you ought to sustain the motion that has been made and the recommendation by the executive committee.
May we raise a question, please? Microphone 3. I'm sorry.
I would be very sorry to see us adopt that motion for various reasons. In the first place, with all the attraction of Miami, with this auditorium located 7 or 8 miles from the city, it's the worst place in the United States for us to meet. And that would necessarily cut out one city. There are thousands of homes in various cities like Houston and others that will take people in their homes. And with Dr. McCall's consent, in fact, I have a right to do it anyway, you can amend a motion to refer as to the personnel of the committee. I move that it be referred to the exec committee for further study and report later.
Microphone 4, please.
The motion has been made and seconded that this matter be referred to the executive committee for further study and to report. Microphone 4.
No, it's over there.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir?
I'm Kasky from Kansas. I want to know if this recommendation is passed, will that affect next year's meeting at Kansas City?
No, sir.
In spite of that, I'd like to speak against this recommendation for the fact that it will limit it to these three larger cities.
Okay. Microphone 3, please.
Yes, sir.
I'm Charles Brader from Virginia. Two questions, please. Must the city invite the convention? Second, must it be within convention territory? For there are large cities meeting these requirements just beyond our borders of the present Southern Baptist Convention. I think especially of Philadelphia and Atlantic City, which is majoring in conventions. A convention hall that seats 41,000 with sufficient hotel and other accommodations to meet this requirement.
The chair would answer out of his vast ignorance that presumably there is no city barred anywhere since we are going everywhere. And if Brother Barton will permit me, I know he didn't intend to do it, but you know, we are in Miami, Brother Barton, because nobody else would have us. There was nowhere to go, and so we called Brother Angel, and he said, all right, come on. They're doing the best they can for us. It isn't their fault. And
if I may add one further word, Mr. President, I would like to. I've been serving as the chairman of our Committee on Convention Arrangements, and our convention cannot understand the problems that we face year after year. There has been some thought that possibly we could pick one central city where we could have the convention and would be accustomed to good facilities and so forth. We do not know just whether that would be wise or not, but if should be, we would be happy for it to come to St. Louis if we could make arrangements in that way, for we have a fine auditorium and have great hotel facilities. And I wanted to just make that word.
Thank you, sir. Now, are we ready to vote on the motion to refer to the executive committee for further study? Questions called for. Those who are in favor of referring this matter to the executive committee for further study will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary-minded, no.
No.
Well, I think the ayes have it.
Recommendation number 13, Dr. G. Allen West of Tennessee.
This is recommendation number 13. We recognize with gratitude the large contributions in the field of stewardship which have been made through the years and are now being made by the several agencies and departments of our Southern Baptist life. Notably, the Sunday School, the Training Union, the Brotherhood, the Woman's Missionary Union, in addition to those of the Executive Committee and the several state convention organizations. We recognize the need of a pattern which would comprehend the total financial needs of our churches. This pattern should include an intensification of the assistance given to the churches in methods and techniques already in vogue in the Southern Baptist Convention, and would further provide additional services in the form of instruction and guidance in church finances, including fundraising and budgets. This need has become evident by the growing trend of many churches toward employment of secular professional organizations. We believe that the task of church finance, including local expenses, building funds, and missions, is one task. And we feel that any plan promoted by the Southern Baptist Convention or its agencies should serve to strengthen the total appeal of the unified budget idea. We believe that greater than the need for the inauguration of a denominational program patterned after professional fundraising organizations is the need for extension and intensification of assistance in church finance methods according to patterns which already have been proved in our Southern Baptist experience, and which will not only meet the needs of local expense and building funds, but also of world missions. Plans which have been projected for training in and demonstration of such methods to the churches seem to us to have merit. In keeping with this conviction, we recommend that the plans already approved by the Executive Committee for a convention-wide clinic on church finance early in 1956 and anticipation of state and associational clinics or workshops be reaffirmed and be given hearty support by the agencies of the convention and by the state conventions, and that further steps in this direction be encouraged. We recognize that such a program will require additional personnel and expense. We recommend that the historic relationship of the Southern Baptist Convention with the state conventions and with the Southern Baptist Convention agencies be observed in the development and promotion of this program. It is our understanding that the primary responsibility for the origination, development, and promotion of the financial program of the Southern Baptist Convention among the churches is given to the Executive Committee and to the Promotion Committee of the Executive Committee, working in cooperation with the several agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention for the implementation of this program. Brother President, I move the adoption of recommendation number 13.
You have heard the motion as made and seconded that we adopt this recommendation, which is number 13. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Those in favor will please say aye. Contrary-minded, no. It is so carried.
I might add that these recommendations and this agreement was worked out in conference with the representatives of the state secretaries of the Home Mission Board and the Sunday School Board, and was approved by all of them before being presented to the Executive Committee and to the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, recommendation number 14, which is the closing recommendation, Dr. Hudgens of Jackson, Mississippi.
Mr. President, members of the convention, recommendation number 14, we recommend that inasmuch as a new survey of capital needs has been authorized, that the agencies of the convention be informed that they will receive the full amount of the present capital needs commitments without being penalized for special gifts, as long as the provisions of Section 6 of the business and financial plan regarding special solicitations are met. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this recommendation number 14.
You've heard the motion as made and seconded. Those in favor, if there are no remarks, I pause for a moment. If there are none, those in favor will please say aye. Contrary, no. So carried.
Dr. Storer, before I move the adoption of these recommendations as a whole, I should like to take the opportunity of presenting my two associates, Dr. Merrill D. Moore, who is the Director of Promotion, and Dr. Albert McClellan, the Director of Publications. And I'm going to ask them to come to the microphone at this time. Dr. McClellan? Dr. McClellan is the editor of the Baptist Program, which many of you read. And I'm going to ask Dr. McClellan if he will lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for God's blessings and watch care.
Our Father, we thank Thee for this blessed meeting and for the wonderful things that have happened in our convention in the year past. And we pray that as we look toward the future, that we will be guided by Thy Spirit, that there shall prevail always with us a spirit of humility, a spirit of self-searching, so that we can find the will of God and be the example to the world that we need to be. We pray that at no time shall we be boastful of our size or of our power, but that instead we shall always give God the glory, and let it be known to all men that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and that our passion is a lost world, our homeland, and the nations abroad. We thank Thee for the Executive Committee and the leadership that it offers to the convention. We thank Thee for the confidence that the people have in its affairs and in its leadership. We thank Thee, too, that this confidence each year has been again and again proven. And we pray that in the future there shall exist between the convention and its executive committee and between the messengers of the convention themselves and between all of the churches that make up our convention, an unbroken fellowship, a fellowship that is bound together by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, and a consciousness that we are following Him in His program, which is the program of the cross and the winning of a lost world. These things we ask in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
And now I should like to ask the members of the Executive Committee who are on the platform if they would stand so that you might know better the men who are from your own state who serve on your own Executive Committee. If they will stand, please. Thank you. I should like to say again that we appreciate this opportunity of service to you. And we want each one of you as an individual messenger to feel a perfect freedom in writing to Dr. Moore, to Dr. McClellan, or to me regarding any matter that you feel, where you feel we might be able to give you some information. And now, Mr. President, I should like to move the adoption of the report of the Executive Committee as a whole, of this section.
Motion has been made and seconded that this report be adopted as a whole. You have adopted it item by item. I think there's no difficulty in doing this, which has been recommended. Those in favor will please say aye. Contrary, no. And the motion is carried. The report is adopted. We have here an item now that I think will be of interest to all of you. We are to have the pictures made of this great gathering of Baptists, and I think it's a good time to do it now before the election of officers, because you'll never look so contented as you do now. Everybody will be happy. Everybody will be happy in anticipation, and it'll be a good time to do it. But before we do it, there is an announcement I should like to ask Brother Angel to make concerning a very vital and meaningful thing for our comfort and for our safety. Brother Roy Angel. Brother Roy Angel, the pastor of the Central Baptist Church of this city, who has done such yeoman work in getting ready for our meeting.
Mr. President, delegates, friends, we are very happy to have you here, and we do wish we could make you more comfortable and get you down to our auditorium better, and that our auditorium wasn't so far away. We wish all of those things, and we're delighted to have you, and you'll be welcome any time that you want to come our way, Brother Barton included. These two or three things. There are two cars that are parked in the door of the pavilion. One's a Louisiana car, 635-483. One's a Tennessee car, 33D568. In the door of the pavilion, please move them or they'll be taken over to the police court. You have to go after them. Now, while I'm talking to the police, they came up to my office, talked to me just a few days ago, captain of the traffic department, chief of police. They're going to be just as nice to you as they can be. They told me to tell you they'd do everything they could to help you. Now, if you get a parking ticket, if you bring it by my desk, which is the last one over there, I can help you with it probably. I'd be very happy to try. But only the over parking tickets. Now, this suggestion the police department make. Don't bring your car down here. We can't take care of the parking. Buses will leave in front of the McAllister and the Columbus Hotel. They'll bring you down, and they'll be parked here to take you back. Be a much simpler thing. If you're going to bring a car loaded up with everybody that's coming this way, there aren't enough parking spaces yet. The cars right this minute are blocked from here to the causeway, two abreast. No way to get in down here. One of these days, when Miami grows up a little bit, we'll have our brand new beautiful auditorium and plenty of parking space. We're a very new city yet. We haven't quite reached that. So be patient with us. And if you'll use the buses or the taxis, and we have arrangements with the taxi companies so it won't cost you very much if you fill that taxi up, the buses will bring you down, take you back, and be very much nicer. We just hope you enjoy staying here. Anything in this world we can do to help you, we'll be happy to do.
Thank you, Brother Angel. Our problem, of course, is that old nursery problem about the, well, I don't know about the old lady, but the Baptist who lived in a shoe and they had so many children they didn't know what to do. It's just so many of us, and it's our problem, but it's a happy problem, and we're hoping we'll have even more. I'm sure we will. Now the matter of pictures will be in the hands of the gentleman who orders us around for it.
And I'm not the gentleman, but I have some more emergency messages. Reverend Paul White, Reverend Felix Wagner, Reverend E.A. Petroff, Reverend Howard McGehee, Reverend Hester B. Pilla. These messages you may find at the emergency at the information counter.
While we're waiting for the arrangements to be made, I wonder, Brother Heron, if we might not sing, and I don't venture to suggest what we'll sing, but Oh Happy Day, because this is a happy day.
We can sing that one. That happens to be in our book, Dr. Storr. Oh Happy Day. It's listed, 62. Paul, you over there? Forrest? All right. Forrest Watkins, a pastor here in Miami, Florida, is our piano and will be helping us from time to time. We'll just have a good time worrying Paul Langston good while we start singing. Let's all stand. Oh, happy day is 62. All right, Forrest.
One stand.
Just one stands off. That's about all they'll know. All right.
Oh, happy day that fixed my joy. Suddenly my sin, you're at my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture ill. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me
the saddest looking bunch of happy people I've seen recently. One more chorus. Remember, we've got enough money. Don't worry. So far, it's been good. All right, the chorus.
Happy day. Happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, he put me to watch and pray.
Be seated, please, and you will now look as pleasant as you can possibly do. The pictures will be made. Brother Jones is a professional at this type of work, and tomorrow you may find the pictures outside, in which you may see for yourself, and if you wish them, I'm quite sure he'll be happy to let you have one at
Born and reared in a preacher's home, and a great preacher. This man was educated at Carson Newman College and the Southwestern Theological Seminary. He was elected president of the convention in Tennessee. He has been for 15 years pastor of one of our greatest churches in the South at Jacksonville, Florida. May I say to you that there are only two states in the Southern Baptist Convention that never had a president, Mississippi and Florida. I came from Mississippi, but I'm speaking for Florida. And I am putting in the nomination today a man who needs no speech. I'll name him, Dr. Homer Lindsay, the First Baptist Church at Jacksonville, Florida.
You have heard the nomination.
President.
Mr. Feaser? Brother Feaser? Someone is asking out yonder, they couldn't hear you well, you nominated Homer Lindsay, is not that right? They couldn't hear you out yonder. Brother Homer Lindsay of Jacksonville, Florida.
Brother President and fellow messengers,
I think we are to be counted fortunate that there are many men in this convention qualified to service as president. But I have the joy and the happiness of presenting now a candidate for the presidency of the convention that provides or embodies all of the qualifications that we expect in a presiding officer. I'm not going to keep you in suspense with any build-up. I'm simply going to announce the name and then a few remarks about his qualifications, which I believe you're entitled to know. I have the joy and the honor of presenting Casper Carl Warren of the First Baptist Church of Charlotte, North Carolina, as a candidate for the presidency. This word, I hardly know whether the applause is for me or for Dr. Warren. I think it's for Dr. Warren. His education, interrupted by World War I, he returned at the close of the war to continue and finish his education in the field of law. A successful lawyer for 2 years, he heard the call of God, like Charles G. Finney, the lawyer, and Russell H. Conwell, the lawyer, and George W. McDaniel, the lawyer, and entered one of our seminaries and took 2 degrees, the master and the doctorate in theology. He has served in 3 states, Kentucky for 10 years, Arkansas for 6 years, and currently 12 years in the First Baptist Church, Charlotte. If I were to name the denominational services rendered by Dr. Warren, I would slightly exaggerate to say that they would constitute a list as long as my arm. Dr. Warren has served this convention as vice president. He is currently the president of that important agency, the Executive Committee. Moreover, Dr. Warren is a soul winner in a downtown church where there are many suburban churches of great strength. Last year, he baptized 226 people. Last Sunday, a friend passed me the information, not Dr. Warren, that he preached 5 times and at the close of the Lord's Day baptized 36 souls. I believe that's the type of man, that is the type of preacher that we would do well to have as our president, a soul winner, an administrator, a man of great ability. Now, this final word, reference has been made and was made last year that there are some states that have never had a president. That's true of the state of Dr. Warren. In 110 years, North Carolina has never been honored by having a president. I submit to you, Dr. Warren, as our candidate for the presidency. Thank you very much.
You have heard this nomination of Brother Warren. Brother Barton.
Mr. President and brethren, in just a sentence or two, I want to do a courtesy. Somebody thought that I made an ungenerous reference to Miami. That isn't true. I only spoke of a condition that they can't change. Well, I want to name a man as president, a far president. It's been a good many years since we have elected a layman as president of this convention. I do not believe that we ought to forget the layman. I want to name a man who is both young enough and well and strong enough to be president, who knows our work, who's of outstanding service in our work, and yet who won't be young enough in 20 or 25 years as other men will. I want to mention the name of Judge John McCall of Memphis, Tennessee, who is one of the most outstanding and fine and blessed laymen that I've known in this convention through the years. He knows something about presiding. He's worked as a great layman. I believe that this convention, at least once in a while, should elect a layman. We haven't elected one since we elected Pat Neff in Texas some 13 or 14 years ago, 41 or 42. And I believe that Judge McCall will do a good job as president. He's friendly, he's kind, he knows the rules of procedure. He's a man of outstanding service, not only in the Baptist denomination, but in civil life. And those who know him love him. And you won't make any mistake to elect Judge McCall of Memphis, Tennessee.
Brother President, I think maybe in the interest of history, it ought to be that these speeches ought to be recorded. They're having trouble in the recorder room, and so I'm asking Lloyd White to go immediately to the recorder room.
Mr. President and messengers to the convention, one of the advantages of presenting a man down towards the end is that the other men have said so many beautiful things that apply to your man. All you need to do is just to change the name. I want to present a man that's known and loved by us all, a man who is at home amongst our leaders and equally at home out at the forks of the creek. I'm thinking of a man who began his ministry here in Florida, a man who preached the convention sermon here in Florida. And personally, I think it'd be a wonderful thing to elect him president of this convention here in Florida. If Florida wants it, I have the man. I'm thinking of one who has thrilled our hearts from coast to coast as he has spoken at evangelistic conferences, a man who has held revival meetings in our greatest churches and in our smaller churches, a man that has been signally honored of the Lord in the tremendous mass of people that he has won to Christ. I'm thinking of the man who for some 12 years shouldered the burden of launching a child institution in our convention, namely the Radio Commission. A man who has proved his ability by serving as president of the Tennessee Baptist Convention and chairman of its executive board. A man who knows us all. A man who is a voice for Mr. Average Baptist. The man that I would lay before you for your consideration is Dr. Ramsey Pollard, who for 2 years has been president of our pastors' conference and given unto our superb programs. I nominate him for president of this convention.
Thank you, sir. You've heard the nomination of Brother Ramsey Pollard. Are there other nominations? Motion is made and seconded that nominations cease. If you are in favor, you will please say aye.
Aye.
We will then proceed to ballot upon these who have been placed before us. Brother Lindsay, Brother Warren, Brother McCall, and Brother Pollard. The tellers will be ready, and you have instruction for them, Brother Burton.
You may vote on any piece of paper. You need not have a special piece of paper, just any piece of paper, and write the name of the man for whom you're voting, Lindsay, Warren, McCall, or Pollard. And as soon as you have completed your ballot, please do not fold it. Please do not fold it. If you don't want your neighbor to see for whom you voted, you can turn it upside down and pass it down to the end of the aisle.
and the ushers will come as soon as your ballots have been completed and will receive the ballots and bring them to the platform where the tellers are waiting to count. Any piece of paper.
Brethren, while you are, after you have finished that, made your selection, and will abide by the advice and suggestion of Brother Burton, we cannot vote now on the election of vice presidents, but we can on the secretaries. Our present secretary, Brother James Merritt, Brother Joe Burton. Is there a nomination for the Secretary of the Convention? Brother Merritt has been nominated as Secretary of the Convention. Now, Brother Barton, if you want to bring your... There is no other nomination, and I will yield to Brother McCall.
Mr. President, I move that the nomination cease and that Dr. Joe Burton, the other secretary, be instructed to cast the ballot of this convention for Dr. James Merritt.
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Motion is made and seconded. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
And Brother Burton, you will please cast the ballot. He has nothing but a light globe, which is...
I submit that Brother Merritt is a man who gives light. I'm glad to cast the ballot of this convention for Brother James W. Merritt for Senior Secretary for next year.
Thank you, sir. Brother Merritt, I think you should stand and take a bow, sir. Beloved servant of God, certainly he is. Whom will you have for your other secretary? Brother Burton now filling that place.
I would like to place the nomination of Joe W. Burton as the other secretary for our convention. Yes, and I'll ask Dr. Merritt to cast a ballot for Dr. Burton.
You've heard the motion. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no.
Mr. President, I take great pleasure in casting the ballot of this convention for Joe W. Burton as secretary.
Thank you, sir. Brother Burton, would you take a bow, please, sir? I think that's as far as we can go. Maybe you may have some other... The treasurer can be elected, I think.
Brother President, I should like to have the privilege of nominating as treasurer of the Southern Baptist Convention, Brother Porter Roll Ruth.
You've heard that motion. There's a second. Anybody want to do any casting? Motion is made and seconded that Brother Burton now repeat and cast the vote of this convention for Brother Ruth.
I am happy to obey your instruction and cast the vote of this convention for Porter O. Ruth for treasurer.
Thank you, sir. And I guess that's about as far as we can go now on this particular item.
Brother President, what we want to do is to hurry and bring the ballots forward. I believe the ushers are still working to bring them forward. Have all the ushers come forward with ballots? Have all of your ballots been received? Well, we must wait on that until they can bring them to the platform to the tellers.
Mr. President, the bus company has just sent me a little note saying that they will put on extra buses and bring you direct to the auditorium with no stops and take you back, but they would like for you to load at their regular loading place for this section, which is behind Cress's. You see, Cress's 5 and 10 cent store runs all the way through from Flagler to First. It's on the First Street side. That's not very far from your hotels or from wherever you'll be downtown. Load there. There'll be extra and special buses run down here and back about the time and before time for each convention session. And they'll line up out here to take you back and hope it'll help you a little bit. Thank you, Mr. President.
I have here a letter which I am sure many of our people will be thoroughly in sympathy if I ask indulgence of reading it. It is from the pastor's secretary at Sherman, Texas. We here at the church felt that you should know that Dr. Miller has been confined to his bed on orders of his physician for some weeks. He has overtaxed his strength for some time. We felt you'd be interested. Dr. Miller will appreciate your prayers at this time. All of his plans had to be changed, of course, including cancellation of the trip to Miami and to London for the Baptist World Alliance. Dr. Landon Miller, the pastor of our first church in Sherman, Texas, a dearly beloved brother, one of the most brilliant of our younger ministers, upon whom the mantle of us older men such as he will fall. I know you would be interested in it, and I know he will be encouraged if there could be a prayer offered for him here. And I would like to ask, if I might, that my very dear friend, Dr. Duke McCall, will come and lead us in such a prayer now.
May we all bow and each of us pray. We thank thee, O God, for the privilege of coming before thee in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior, and bringing before thy throne the name of this our brother, and asking that thou wouldst be with him, with those who serve his needs, and beyond all that men can do, we pray that thou wilt bless him and be to him the God of strength, of light and life. We thank thee, O God, that we can ever come in behalf of our brethren. And so we would lift before thee now all who are distressed of mind or body or spirit. We would lift before thee all who bear heavy burdens, all who face tremendous decisions, all who carry great responsibilities. For we are one and all, unequal to the demands of life, the opportunities of the open doors, and the responsibility of proclaiming this wonderful gospel to a lost world. Unequal are we all. Save thy Spirit, give us strength and power, and use us as the instruments of thy eternal purpose, to the end that thy kingdom shall come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For Christ's sake, amen.
Mr. President.
The motion is, you could not hear it, I suspect, that this convention send a telegram of sympathy and encouragement to Dr. Miller. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
And it will so be done. Brother Burton?
Brother President, I apologize, and yet we want to be assured that all of the ballots are in. Everyone wants to vote. And are all the ballots in now? I believe the tellers have the ballots. The suggestion has been made that you be given the explanation on the election of the president and the first vice president and the second vice president. In the Constitution, you will see that the first vice president shall be voted upon. This is Article 5 of the Constitution. The first vice president shall be voted upon and elected after the election of the president has taken place. And the second vice president shall be voted upon and elected after the election of the first vice president has taken place. Also, the bylaws provide that all officers shall be elected not later than the second day of the convention.
Thank you, sir. We have now come to the hour in which, by your consent, the program committee had exchanged places with the item originally listed, theological education, that of the Baptist World Alliance, Brother Arnold Earn. Brother Earn? Brother Arnold Earn, the secretary of the Baptist World Alliance, who comes now to speak to us.
Mr. President, dear fellow Baptists, it is not only a privilege, but it is really a duty to report to you on the activities of the Baptist World Alliance. The idea that matured in the organization of the Baptist World Alliance was born in the Southern Baptist Convention. And one of your men was called the father of the First Baptist World Congress. You have provided the Alliance with presidents like Edgar Young Mullins, George W. Truett, and C. Oscar Johnson. Where do you find three grander presidents? Anywhere. And then we are indebted to you for loyal and generous support through the years towards the finances of the Alliance. I say it is a privilege to have this opportunity of meeting you and thanking you on behalf of the Baptist World Alliance, which this year celebrates its 50th birthday.